of you to this festival commemorating the auspicious appearance of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ji here. There will be two more speakers after me, and also two more, one more drama and one video. So I'll be brief. I was very happy to see Shidama Prabhu begin his comparing with this statement, let there be a temple. And he brought out this realization that Srila Prabhupada pointing towards a particular direction with his stick is so significant. So, this is a verse from the 10th canto, 13th chapter, text 50. And the background of this incident is as follows. Lord Brahma thinks that Krishna is just like one of the mortal beings, maybe someone with some extra power. And as Srila Prabhupada always would remind Indians especially, Krishna is not a great personality. Krishna is not a very powerful personality. Krishna is not a god. He is the greatest of all personalities. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And this is something which possibly Indians also forgot. There are various reasons why India forgot that. But it's not unnatural to lose understanding of who God is. This material world is a place of forgetfulness. So, those who have their mystic power, they try to show it in front of Krishna's mystic power. And Brahma, when he showed his little tiny mystic power, Krishna came in front of him in the form of millions. The Bhagavatam described millions, innumerable coward boys, which were not Brahma's creation, because he knew just a few moments ago he had kidnapped all of them and kept them hidden in a cave. So who could be these? And all of a sudden they all became Vishnus. This is one instance in the Bhagavatam, or at least we can say in Vedic literature, where many, many Vishnus are shown coming from Krishna. But we don't see Krishnas, many, many Krishnas coming from anyone else. So it confirms the Bhagavatam's statement, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So in this verse is as follows. Chandrika vishadasmerai sarunapanga vikshitai svakarthanam ivaraja sattvabhyam srashtrapalaka. Prabhupada commented on these verses as you can see, it's a very thin volume, because this contains the last of Prabhupada's commentaries. While commenting, he left this world. The translation is, those Vishnu forms by their pure smiling, which resemble the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Our eyes are black, normally. Some have grey, some have blue. But reddish eyes, at least in this material world, is only because of inebriation. In intoxicated state, your eyes become reddish. There is no other explanation for that. But here we have Aruna, Aruna Apanga Vikshitai. Krishna's sidelong glance, which is reddish, of course the eye also has another region which is white. So there is white and there is red. So it's a mixture of passion and goodness. Red is the color of passion, white is the color of goodness. So here Prabhupada is explaining that in this verse, the word raja means not passion but affection. In the material world, rajagun is passion, but in the spiritual world it is affection. So it means that a devotee doesn't have desires. At least this is something which I tried to grapple right from the beginning of my being tutored in this science of Krishna consciousness. How does one give up desires? Every time we have problems, someone guides us, counsels us, give up. Give up your material desires. And when I am sober, I dream of a situation where I have no desires. But then how does one survive if one doesn't have desires? Desires seem to be like this. We are our desires. Outside, they say, you fulfill your desires by fulfilling them. Or you get rid of your desires, to put it more correctly, by just giving whatever they want. But that is like feeding fuel to a fire. It doesn't stop. So we have Nirvisheshvadis, Mayavadis, Brahmavadis, who say get rid of all desires. They say in Hindi, na rahega bas, na bajegi basri. If you don't have the bamboo, where is the question of a flute? That also seems to be contradictory. Someone has a house and it's like a big expenditure trying to repair it. So one solution is to burn it down. So you may say, the person may say, why should I burn my house down? Well, if you burn it down, no repairs next year, no painting expenditure. If you have a boil on your arm, lop it off. So no arm, so no boil, so no problem. See how impractical this is. But we say, no, we want to keep the arm and we want to keep it fit. That is natural life. So Prabhupada standing there, as our Sridharma Prabhu was explaining, and he's saying, we should have a temple over here. What is this desire? How do you classify it? In what category? Krishna is full. Atmaram. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I'm okay. I don't need anything. If he's not full, how can he be God? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate. You don't give him anything which is lacking. The Supreme Lord is full. The pure devotee has no desire. So what happens to us? We will be lost. So, please understand, a temple is not just a place of bricks and mortar or some place where people just congregate together. In his seven goals of ISKCON, and this also was one thing which confused me. There are many things which confuse me, but I'm just telling you which got solved later. That ISKCON is meant, and by the way, today also is the day commemorating the incorporation of ISKCON in New York. Incorporation, that means giving something a corpus, something a shape. And just I remembered something from the Leelamrit. Prabhupada was sitting and sort of amused. He had the trustee in front of him, one New York lawyer, and he said, "We will call our society ISKCON." And he was amused as to how it came. I, S, K, and C-O-N for consciousness. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. First of all, it was not international. Secondly, it was just a society of those who were in that room. And the trustee, that lawyer had to be paid his fees for incorporating. So Prabhupada made him a trustee so that he wouldn't be paid any fees, because that's... he says, that's your membership dues for being a member here. So, this was the people who joined. They had no idea that this society, this bunch of people who are here, this will, like Brahmananda Prabhu said, what to speak of going from east coast of America to the west coast. He thought ISKCON won't go beyond the lower east side. To give something in Indian terms, it means like Radha Gopinath's influence won't grow beyond Gangadevi temple here, or won't grow beyond Grand Road station. What if, just imagine, what if there was a group of 60-70 people here, and not even 60-20 people here, and they are thinking in terms of, let's have an international society. And that too with a bunch of hippies who had no idea how to make it international. But Prabhupada had everything figured out. Figured out doesn't mean that he's a soothsayer, or he's an astrologer, or he's a person who just dabbles in futuristic vision as to what will happen next, what will happen next. It's slightly different. Here it is said that Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, his glands creates a desire in the heart of his pure devotee. There is a lot of action, churning going on in the heart of his pure devotee. And then whatever he says, Krishna has to make it happen. Now, why does a pure devotee have desires? Just to serve Krishna. Many, many times, it is not like the devotees were testing Prabhupada, but they could see that it was perfectly natural for him. Kumbh Mela, Prabhupada said, we should have a procession like that. And the devotees who had come for the first time, they saw these big, big 1008 Mahants, big, burly sadhus sitting on these big elephants. And they said, Prabhupada, we should also have this procession and you should sit up there. Prabhupada said, no. We'll have Radha Krishna up there, I'll walk. She was very clear. So when a pure devotee says, let there be a temple, whose desire was it? This purport, 10, 13, 50, Prabhupada is making it clear, it's a desire of Krishna. The desire takes shelter in the heart of his pure devotee. He speaks it and then Krishna fulfills it. Krishna and his pure devotee, they are like in a compact. They are like together. And their only plan is to do things for the benefit of others. I found something in a Vyas Puja offering given by ISKCON Bangkok many, many years ago. It's a poetry. India's greatest folly to forget Krishna in the face of rampant material desires, and America's to plead that ignorance is bliss. So East has become lame and the West blind. Then let there be a temple so the two may combine. This short couplet encapsulates the idea. How many times have we seen this thing, let there be a temple, in Vedic history? Innumerable times. Just to mention a few, Madhavendra Puri, when he sees Gopal, he says, take me out. He brings him out and says, let there be a temple. Govindji, Madan Mohan, throughout history you have this kind of thing coming again and again and again, that the Lord comes in front of his pure devotee and says, I am helpless. Feed me, bathe me, worship me. And then the pure devotee engages the senses of others. You and me, why are we here? It's because Radha Gopinath is standing there on the altar and saying, please do this for me. Now the first material emotion, how many times have you heard, at least in India, people saying, Bhagwan ko kya jarurat hai? Unke paas to sab kuch hai. Why God needs anything? He has everything. It is me who needs everything. I need everything. Let him fulfill my needs first. So Prabhupada began his preaching by giving solid and very simple examples. You are like a hand, part of the body. We are all part of Krishna's body, or we are part of Krishna. So the hand has taken a laddu and is saying, I won't give it to the stomach. Alright, keep it for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours, 5 hours. In this monsoon, you know what happens to sweets? They become sticky. After 8 hours, the hand understands, it's kind of, I can't enjoy it. This is not the way to enjoy the laddu. What am I supposed to do? Give it to the mouth. The mouth will give it to the stomach. And there comes that rebellion. Why? If I am supposed to enjoy, why do I give somebody else? How can somebody else enjoy on my behalf? So we have to have that faith. The stomach doesn't keep anything for itself. It is a natural thing. The stomach is meant for serving all other parts of the body. This is Narad Muni's example in Srimad Bhagavatam. That Krishna is not meant to just selfishly sit in one place and take all enjoyment. By nature, he is giving enjoyment. And we just have to have that faith. Now the faith doesn't come unless we have taste. And the taste doesn't come unless we do some experimentation. Like you don't have a job because you don't have experience. And you don't have experience because you don't have a job. So somebody has to intervene. That's what a temple does. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in a bhajan, Shraddhavan jana hai, Shraddhavan jana. He says, even if you don't know all the verses of the Bhagavad Gita, you don't know how to chant properly, dance properly, eat is something which we know properly. But I am not a philosopher, I don't understand philosophy, I can't stand too many lectures. Fine. At least if you can grow a grain of faith, you're done. You just need that faith. And Prabhupada says, yes, the beginning of Krishna consciousness is with little faith. And that little faith is with everything else. You sit in a train with the faith that it will take you to your particular destination. You take a flight, that faith goes to the power of 10. Today even flights are not safe. You might be flying over somebody's courtyard and somebody else shoots you down. Isn't it? So you have to have that faith. So that faith is not an extra faith for spiritual life. It's like material life, that faith is available everywhere. But spiritual life, oh, that is a rare kind of faith only available on the top of the 7 mountain range. No, it's not like that. It's the same faith which a person uses for his material life. So, why this location? 7 KM Munshi Marg is not like the ideal location for a temple. If it was mud island surrounded by seas or some other spot in Bombay, but near Gorai Beach or somewhere where we could have... No. Prabhupada would have none of that. In the Let There Be a Temple, this is a very famous phrase. There is a chapter in the Lilamrit by that name. So 2 occasions, Prabhupada came to Rome and the devotees found a place. They took Prabhupada there. It was so noisy. There was so much of traffic. And they said, Prabhupada, we are sorry. Does this sound bother you? Prabhupada said, no. It's very pleasing. Just imagine a sadhu calling European traffic. Well, traffic is traffic, isn't it? The noise is same. Whether it is, it's not like the European exhaust is less polluting than Indian exhaust. Could be, we Indians are a bit more expert in these things. But the main point is, Prabhupada was very much for urban setting. This is something he took from his Guru Maharaj. And you know what was his explanation? He said, so much of traffic means it's an important place. And if it's an important place, important people will come. So don't worry. Carry on. So this is what he used. He never cared as to what Krishna has given in what particular form. If it is there, use it. And at least I was there when a Sunday feast at Radha Gopinath would mean 80 people. We used to bring prasadam buckets. We had a temporary sort of wooden barrier here. That barrier would come all the way up to this particular line, so people could take darshan. And we would have 2 or 3 rows for ladies and 2 or 3 rows for gents. And in 30-40 minutes, prasadam would be over. So that was the Sunday feast. After that, like Shridharam Prabhu said, how this is, if this temple is like a wonderful script, then there you have the script writer, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. How he gave the very best he had and how so many people could come up for becoming part of this Krishna conscious process. Number one, as Srila Prabhupada always say, Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti. You may say, I never learned Padmasana, but now I've joined a yoga club, I can do it. Or some other asana, or some harmonium playing, or some cooking. All these are extraneous arts, which need some kind of tutoring to bring them up, to bring them out. You say, I never knew that I had this talent, and it came up. But Krishna Bhakti is something which is latent, which is there in the heart of every living entity. Prabhupada had this kind of conviction. No one can say, by nature I am not a devotee. No one. So everybody is a fit candidate. Many years ago, when Prabhupada's disciple came, he was himself a leader of a particular temple or a congregation. And he said, our people don't stay that much long for a lecture. So we immediately give them prasad. And Maharaj said, we don't feed them unless they have heard the whole lecture. In fact, there could be some who could be complaining about the abnormally long Shravanam sessions here, but Maharaj just fed more till we just gave up. We just said, okay, this is it. There is no escape from this. In fact, it's not a very apt example, but Prabhupada gave it, so I'm safe. He said, how does one become a drunkard? He said, he associates with drunkards. And the first one or two, three sessions, the newcomer says, oh, it doesn't taste good. It's awful, in fact. And what does the group say? Give him some more. And Prabhupada said, surprisingly, this is the same principle. You come to a Bhagavatam class and you find that, like every sentence was a punch in the nose. I mean, what was that text? Calling me a dog, hog, camel, ass. And every time, no sense gratification, no sense gratification. It feels like that. In one old lecture, it's still available in our library. Maharaj said, why does one read Prabhupada's books? He said, Prabhupada's books, you keep your ego in front of Prabhupada. And then what Prabhupada does with your ego, he punches, pummels, stomps. And after that you feel, what hit me? You do it again and again and again. Till afterwards you feel good. It is bound to happen. Parishit Maharaj explains to Shukdev Goswami, my dear Brahman, my dear Guru Maharaj, medicines are generally bitter. Take any medicine, it's supposed to be bitter. The more bitter, it's supposed to be more powerful. But he says, for this Bhavarog, Krishna consciousness, you are giving the medicine of Krishna consciousness in the form of Krishna Katha. It is sweet as well as effective, which is very rare. So this is what this temple was built upon. I have to tell this statement. To erect a transcendental place of pilgrimage dedicated to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Now I was just thinking that any place which is transcendental has to be either Vrindavan or Mayapur or Puri. And then later we also got introduced to other dhams. We went with Maharaj on Yatra to Udupi, and we are going to Hampi and Udupi now, but we had been to all the Narasimha Kshetras, Tirupati. So what's a dham? All these places, they are dhams. This already looks like a dham, but no. Prabhupada calls his temples transcendental places of pilgrimage dedicated to the pastimes of Krishna. Now that's another thing. Pastimes? Radha Gopinath performing pastimes? Ask the pujaris, it's like every day morning, get up, dress them up, then two aartis. Like for many pujaris, it's like the daily ones here. It's like those who are working in hospitals, those who are working in railway stations, flight control stations, like 2 more hours and I catch some rest and then again I have to do this, again do. It's like a schedule. You have hardly come out of this room and again you take a bath. Can you imagine? It's not like you have gone to the railway station and come back. You're just out of the room. There's the next bhoga coming. You'll take a bath. You drink some water. You take a bath. You ate something. You take a bath. Change your clothes. You can't eat in the same clothes. This seems like work. It's not a pastime. Certainly it's not a pastime. Many years ago, when police officer, there was some problem and we were talking with him. He said, I came to one temple, at 1 o'clock the temple was closed. So I asked them, what happened? He said, Bhagwan so rahe. He said, why don't you tell me the pujari so rahe? Why give this excuse, Bhagwan so rahe? I mean, the pujari had a nice meal and he wants to take some rest, so he's saying that abhi mandir ban. Now the temple is closed, it will open at 4 o'clock. Fine, it's just like any other occupation. People can't understand. Here it is not like the Lord is meant to serve us, we are meant to serve Him. So what is the pastime here? His appearance. That He has come and He is accepting seva is the, this is like the LCD, the least common denominator of pastimes. It's not like, we are not like sahajiyas where we, somebody says, oh, Gopinath told me this, Gopinath told me that. Not that kind of pastime. We know our limitations. But that, devotees are coming from so far and near. This is one thing which Maharaj used to always stress again and again. Make this temple the nucleus of your spiritual life. Like this is the nucleus around which everything revolves. And anytime he would be asked, what is the reason of this success? Whatever success we have. It's not like other temples are not successful. Believe it or not, many are. Many, many are. There are a lot of temples with many wonderful devotees, many, many thriving programs. He said, we are just grateful to Prabhupada for giving us this place here. That's all. We have no claims as to Radha Gopinath is number 2 in book distribution or 3 in this or 4th in that. No way. In fact, many years ago, I mean, everyone has their ambitions. So some devotees said, Maharaj, we would like to have we should be distributing 100,000 Bhagavad Gitas. 1 lakh. Now we are doing it for the last 5-6 years, but that time it was a big thing. It was like climbing Mount Everest. Is it okay to pray to Prabhupada and to Radha Gopinath? He said, never mind. In bhakti, there is no dearth, there is no stricture against having any ambition. You can have. We are all spirit souls. We are having desires. We are all unique. We will have our own ambitions. So we said, good. So let us make a sankalpa. Let us be number 1 in the whole world. 100,000 plus Bhagavad Gitas. He said, no. You didn't understand. 100,000 Bhagavad Gitas, no problem for that. You can pray to Krishna. Let us distribute more than 100,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And add something to that prayer. And let Radha Gopinath temple distribute more than 100,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And may we come last. So at least I was as well, oh, why should I pray like that? I mean, the whole point is to win the marathon. To come last? I mean, who have this kind of faith to pray to Krishna, oh my Lord, let me come last. All of us were hit by the World Cup news at least, that football thing. Those who lost, were they happy? They were miserable. Oh, they did the same thing they do after winning, that's a different matter. But they were miserable, their country lost. But here, in bhakti, Maharaj explained, look, the problem, the whole thing is not to have our egos bloated that, oh, we are number 1 in this small group of ISKCON temples. Imagine if we distribute 100,000 Gitas and we come last, that means every other temple has distributed more than us. Imagine the accumulated pleasure for Prabhupada. Now this is spiritual mathematics. And if somebody can understand this, you understood the most important part of spiritual life. So as long as we are here, trying to be the least, but at the same time when we are serving, we try to serve to the fullest capacity. This thing which Prabhupada said. In fact, Sasarup Maharaj writes, it's in Ramanredi, a far off corner of Vrindavan, that Prabhupada said, let there be a temple. And what happened? Let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Chatikara Road, of those of you who have been to Vrindavan, this Chatikara Road was like the most neglected part of Vrindavan area. Traffic would be diverted from a place called Vidyapit Chora. There is a Ramjoy Satsang Bhavan. After that, traffic would go, if you are coming from the Bake Bihari temple, to your left. And after that, Chatikara Road would begin, Ramanreti area, not much activity. In fact, in the evenings, it would be very dark. Nobody would stay there. And this Saraf family gave this small plot of land. Prabhupada wanted an America house. Initially it was called an America house. A place built for American hippies who can come and stay there. But Krishna Balaram had something else in mind. And when Prabhupada came, of course, it's a long story, but he was so pleased. So this is what happens when a pure devotee desires. And Prabhupada himself is explaining here through the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam that every desire a pure devotee makes is due to Lord glancing upon him. The Lord's glance, I'll just conclude with this. The word Swakarthanam refers to great desires. As mentioned in this verse, the glance of Lord Vishnu creates the desires of the devotees. A pure devotee, however, has no desires. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami comments that because the desires of devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, the Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. In the material world, desire is a product of Rajoguna and Tamoguna, but desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service. Thus the word Swakarthanam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna. On this most wonderful auspicious day, I would like to pray that what this temple is meant for is to have that everlasting transcendental desire to serve Radha Gopinath. Let that desire grow ever more in our hearts for all of eternity. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
His Grace Shyamananda Prabhu ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much, Shyamananda Prabhu, for this wonderful, enlightening talk about the everlasting increase of our desire to serve. Once His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was at the Heathrow Airport, and he had some time, so one devotee told him that, Maharaj, you have time for your duty-free, in the duty-free shops. So, Maharaj, you have time for that. And Maharaj replied, my duty is to serve Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada gave me free of cost. So I have my duty free. So this is wonderful that we all have our duties to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. It has come completely free of cost. We are not paid any price. As it is said, the only price that we need to pay is the Shraddha.